Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
Hello and welcome to Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield, a podcast focused on culture, history, travel, and even a little entertainment from time to time. I hope you enjoy traveling with me and with my guests, clients, friends on each episode. Today's episode is entitled Women in Ag. Now, as a business coach, podcaster, and author, I invite you to subscribe to my newsletter by clicking on my website at dennismansfield.com and hit the button that says subscribe. I think you'll like it. Well, this episode of Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield has a very special feel to it. Why? Because we're tackling an issue we've never tackled in the past, and that is women in agriculture. Our special guest is Bridget Riedel, the owner of Lilac Media and Media and the Ag Director for WDAY Radio, Flag Family Media. Now, she's in Fargo, North Dakota, and Bridget is a sought-after national speaker. She's a coach. She's a trainer. She's got a daily co-host position in the afternoon with these amazing guys where she does battle over her ever-present cup of tea with two barrel-chested, chest-beating male meteorologists who know farming deeply. But they don't have the savoir faire that she does. It's a lot of laughter to listen to the show. Many tough radio subjects are brought up, and there's really a litany of facts that come up regarding agriculture, families, and farming. Bridget Riedel, welcome to Just Around the Corner.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Doing fine. Now, you called yourself, in the information that you and I exchanged back and forth, a lifelong farm kid. Okay. Uh-huh. Tell me about that.
So I did grow up farming my whole life. I'm from South Central North Dakota, where my brothers still operate our home farm. And as the oldest of four kids, I was born when my parents were 19. So they were really still kids themselves and didn't understand the difference between children and a hired hand. So it became real easy to be both.
I don't know if they didn't understand it or they chose not to understand it with a wink and a nod.
More than likely. So I could run the dairy parlor by the time I was 12 by myself. My brother would be out combining. We all helped in the field. And then whenever we had time, we helped mom in the house. And then she worked off farm as well. So there was always a plethora of things that needed to be done as we were growing up. And we just did them because, frankly, I don't think we knew any better. Nobody told us that, well, you didn't have to do that. And then you could go run track or something. Mm-hmm. That was an option?
Not an option in your family, huh?
We had work to do.
Well, let me ask you a question. You really grew to understand the arduous activity that became normal of working on a farm. But then as of course you grew up, you took off-farm jobs. And you know, I know that from our discussions in the past, you were a waitress, you worked at Hallmark, you had all these like city kid jobs. How did you transfer as a young adolescent into college age from being a farmhand to a city kid to then applying that knowledge and that work ethic among a whole slew of people that didn't have that farm background? What was it like for you?
Well, first of all, coming from those jobs as well as working on the farm, you learned customer service really quick. Mm-hmm. Who's your customer and how are you going to please them? You learned that while you were waitressing, but you also learned that when you were balancing your time between what mom needed done and what dad needed done. So you got real good at that. Your time management, how would you get everything done in a day? I remember coming in from combining and I was supposed to be at my shift at the cafe at 4:00. I was a junior in high school. We lived 8 miles from town. It was 3:40 p.m. and I hadn't showered. I got real good at time management. So you just figured it out, right? Yeah. And also you learn to drive real fast and be careful. And I think the biggest thing I learned all the way through working at Hallmark and college, et cetera, say thank you. Thank you to your customer. Thank you for your business. And then I learned to negotiate.
Now tell us about that.
Well, when I was working at Hallmark, I was mostly working as a clerk, but I saw a need where no one was coming in the evenings to set for the new holiday. So for instance, as we went from Halloween to Thanksgiving, et cetera. So I went to our store owner and said, I'll make you a deal. I'll still work shifts on the floor, but if you pay me more, I will come in and I will spend after hours resetting the store for those new holidays and get everything done so it doesn't get delayed for days and days while people are trying to do it in between their regular store duties. He said yes. So that was the first time I wrote my own job description and worked my way into it.
Oh, Bridget, that's fantastic. Now, you went to university, and at university, tell us about the university you attended, and then, of course, what your degree was in.
North Dakota State University in Fargo, home of the Bison. So I'm a very proud alumni.
You are indeed a very proud Bison, huh? That's great.
I am a big fan of football there. And my degrees were actually in ag education and extension. It was easy to do a double major at the time. It was just a few more classes. In fact, I was having a great time. And as I entered my fifth year, I only had to finish student teaching and finish my internship as an extension agent. And the Bank of North Dakota said, you know, it's your fifth year. We're not loaning you any more money. And I said, all right, fine. I'll take my degrees and leave. I've had a great time here. And when they said you have to pay back your student debt, by God, they meant it. So it was time to go get a job.
They meant it then. I don't know about today, but you know, they meant it when it impacted your life, huh?
Meant it then.
Now, Bridget, here you are. You finished your fifth year. You're going into a business. You could have gone into teaching. You could have done any number of things, but Dow came in and swept you up. Dow Company. Now, Dow AgroScience was the division of the Dow Chemical Company. What were you thinking when they came to you? Were you surprised by their offer?
So I'd interned for Dow in the summers for 2 years, and I really enjoyed it. But I didn't know if they were going to ask me back for full time. I had my fingers crossed. And in the midst of my student teaching, the HR manager called me and said, we would really like a rep in North Dakota who wants to be there. Would you be interested in at least training with us? I said, absolutely. Now, I'm not really good at math, Dennis, but when my starting teacher salary offer was going to be $18,000, mm-hmm. and they offered me $36,000 plus a vehicle to drive, I got that part. Mm-hmm. I went to work for Dow AgroSciences.
You did indeed. And then Dow AgroSciences got bought up. Tell us about that. Because here you are, a woman in agriculture. My guess is there were not a lot of women in agriculture at that stage. You're a bit of a pioneer. And you suddenly see this incredibly large company being merged with another company, which was
DuPont. So the ag divisions of Dow and DuPont merged here in about 2018 and became one known as Corteva. And so that's kind of an ever-evolving culture for them at Corteva. Even though you've been a company together for about 5 years, it takes a while to sort out how you want to look and the businesses you want to stay in or divest of. For me, by the time I reached 25-year mark back in 2022, last year, I retired from my crop protection career working for Corteva and enjoyed it tremendously. I had a lot of freedom to operate, you could say, within Dow AgroSciences.
Retired is an interesting perspective because, yes, you did leave that company, but you're also a consultant for them. And they realized that having a woman in ag with your background was vital. In the process of that, You trained, if I'm not incorrect, over 70 trainees, interns as well, during that time period. For the percent that were women, what did that look like, and how did they see you, and how were they encouraged because you are a bit of a pioneer?
I bet went from the time that I started as handling trainees and interns until I retired. I don't want to say left. That sounds rude, but we'll say retired. But I bet I went from 20% females to well over 50, probably even closer to 60%. We saw a real shift in women coming into ag, and it changed for the positive. I as I was getting closer to retirement, I said the only downside of having all these females in the industry is now there's a waiting line at the ladies' room at farm shows. I never used to have to worry about that. And frankly, it was being the only woman in my district for 15 years taught me a lot. Uh-huh. And I often, and most of my customers were male, and I often told them, just remember this. I will, as a female, I will always get the deadlines right. I'll remember the details. I will get things done for you. Mm-hmm. But just like your wife, if you make me mad, I won't forget. And they all knew that language and they understood that. And we worked together really, really well. Uh-huh. And whenever I had women come in, I just said, your first couple of years, you're going to need to be faster, work harder, and work smarter than anybody else. But once you've established a sterling reputation and mm-hmm. you have the trust of your customers, you'll be fine.
You know, Bridget, across America, there's this image that family farms are being bought up by large corporate entities. From your experience, is that an actual fact? What are you seeing with this next generation of farming?
Actually, I would say that we still have a lot of transition of farms from family member to family member. When it comes to a corporate farm, they're defined so differently. You may be a family farm, but you have a contract with a corporation in order mm-hmm. to raise, say, chickens for them. But you're mm-hmm. still a family farm and a family operation. So we always have to be careful what we're really defining. And I still see a great interest in people coming back to agriculture. Less than 2% of our population feeds the rest of this country as well as the rest of the world. Because statistically speaking, every farmer out there feeds about 155 other people. And back in 1930, that number was only about 35. And it's changed so drastically. And we're so much more efficient in what we do now.
That's tremendous. When you think about young women in college, what would you say to them? And what do you say to them when you speak to them about challenging them to make a decision that maybe not go into teaching, but to go into ag?
So everything I got to do in ag is still teaching. It's just adults instead of kids. And that's the thing I've enjoyed the most is being able to be that resource to folks. And if you have a passion to teach, but maybe the age group is what deters you, why not work with adults? Because we can still coach them, whether it's in field, whether it's with leadership, whether it's with business skills. We can do all of those things to help everyone improve what they do on a daily basis. And no matter what your gender, you should not be afraid to try new things, not ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of doing new things, I'm going to deviate from my plan here and tell us a little bit about this wild afternoon show with your teacup and you're dealing with these, you know, King Kong guys who are just on the into weather, into farming, into the issue of ag. And how do you spar with them and keep yourself level headed while using humor?
Okay. Because I'm pretty much like their mom every day. I come in well prepared. That's the one thing you always have to do. When you say, I'm going to show up for work today, whether it's presenting, whether it's being on the radio, whether it's talking in front of your customer, and you think, I've got this. I'll just fly by the seat of my pants. You look like you're flying by the seat of your pants. So for folks who watch us on our live stream, when we are on air, you will see a pile of paperwork and things in front of me as I make sure I have the facts and the figures. I read a lot. That helps me prepare. And I'd like to think I'm naturally funny, although I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people, particularly like my third grade teacher, who would say, no, that wasn't as funny as you thought. Go back to your desk.
As you know, my sweet bride, Susan, retired from teaching right about the time that you retired as well. And she uses third and fourth and fifth grade, case studies when she's dealing with me. So I really do get it. You know, what's also fun. And of course, I probably should have said it at the beginning, but I have the honor of being your business coach. And as such, we have had some incredible sessions throughout the last year plus discussing the things that impact you in a major way. Now, I saw something start to happen when, and please lead up to it, when you began to see a very serious situation hitting the farm families all across America, and it's on the issue of mental health. A, I'd like you to give the background of what brought you to the point of a huge change in your life, and then B, what you're now doing with that new change. I would actually, if it's possible, like to do another episode with you and focus on this. But would you give the podcast listeners and viewers just a taste of what you've learned from all your experience to what you're now learning with additionally new experience that is disheartening and yet hopeful at the same time?
Let's look at the little bit of history in the last few years for this country. As we went through a pandemic, as we watched inflation rise, people are concerned about their food. And that impacts our farm families as well, because they're the producers of our food. They worry about commodity prices. They worry about whether or not government overregulation may affect them in a negative manner. And really, what's the bottom line? Because if you're not making money farming, that's a volunteer project. And everybody came to be profitable in this country, right? We came for opportunities. And I could see the worry and the lines in the faces of our producers, whether they were ranchers or farmers. And they have the concern of, what if I lose the farm? I'm fifth or sixth generation. It rests on my shoulders. I have watched farmers who are facing bankruptcy or going out of business feel that suicide was their only option. And it's not. And I don't ever want them to feel that again. And so I kind of fell into finding ways to help others through what was going on in the farm communities. And it's not just the actual farmer, it's their children who carry that stress to school every day. It is their spouse who goes to their job in their small community and sees it amongst the other spouses as well. It's the banker who sees the fear in the eyes of his lenders. And we know that here in the state of North Dakota, we are number 14 on the list for suicide, and the majority of them are farm related. That's a statistic I would like to drop.
How can you do that? Tell us a little bit about your journey into discussing it publicly and making an advance, a positive advance.
I have been so fortunate to work with entities like North Dakota State University, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and others who have asked me to speak on behalf of, where are the resources? What are the signs of stress and concern, depression and anxiety in our rural communities? Not just our farmers, but all of them. Mm-hmm. And through being able to share that information, whether it's through websites, whether it's through question and answer, I've had many reach out after the fact and say, had I not heard you, had I not taken the time to stop to listen to you when I normally wouldn't, I wasn't able to find the help that I or my friend or my family needed. And even if I only hear it once or twice, it matters to me that we heard it and that we helped someone.
You could speak to somebody right now who's listening, and who has a member of their family in the farming community. What would you say to them about things to look at? We'll concentrate on our next episode about this, but briefly right now, that are, for those that are listening, what would you say to them?
Ask them how they are and really mean it and listen. Hear what they're saying. Watch for the stress. Maybe ask some additional questions. How are things going? Is there something that I can hear and listen to? You know, I heard that there was this website called ruralminds.org that has some resources. Maybe that would be helpful. There's a lot of farmers out there who farm because they believe it is their heritage and their tradition. But to some, it's just a job, versus others, it's a passion. And that passion can unfortunately lead to undue pressure. And we can only hope that we help others feel better about the fact that whatever decisions they make are okay.
Bridget, any final comments on this episode of Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield, focusing on women in ag, that you would like to give our listeners and our viewers?
The future is so bright for all of us in agriculture. It's never been a scary place. There's more and more women joining the industry, and I hope to see that continue. But remember, no matter your gender, work hard, do what you say you're going to do, and always follow up with your customer by saying thank you for your business, and you'll be successful.
Bridget Riedel, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I look forward to the next episode of Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield and Bridget Riedel. Thank you for listening to Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. We're part of the KTSY Podcast Network. And as such, I'd like to thank Brian Yeager, producer Grady Sapp, Kevin McNeese, and all the fine folks who are part of bringing this podcast to you. As such as well, I'd like to thank Colin Mansfield and Kevin Miller in the Morning. What a team that I get to work with.